The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Ro. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Ro. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Ro. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Oh, boy.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Dada.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Pacers handle their offseason here, because they do have to pay Turner. Oh, here we go. Here's me being a host. Here's what we're bringing back to the Lakers. The Pacers do have to pay Turner this upcoming offseason. Maybe elect not to, and Turner goes. But he's been such a big part of their success, tonight notwithstanding, that I think eventually they do decide to pay up for him. But that means that they will have to choose one of their wings, at least, that they will not be able to pay moving forward unless their owner completely rethinks the way that he has seen the luxury tax for the extent of his time running the team. I think they are one of the teams that have never paid the luxury tax over the last few decades or whatever it is. So I think Nesmith is probably the least likely to be moved, even though he's already been paid. Nembhard is somebody who people really, really, were hoping would be moved this last trade.
He's trade not going
season,
anywhere.
This last trade deadline. I don't think he's probably being traded. But if it's Shepherd, I think Mathurin was somebody who was on the trade block back at the deadline. Either of those guys, Ross, slot perfectly on this Lakers roster.
I think a lot of those have become pipe dreams for me. Just a team. I mean, this team is freaking 3 wins away from the NBA Finals. I mean, And just for me, their core of Siakam, Nesmith, Turner, Haliburton, and Nembhard, really, that's the 6 for them. Everyone else. Obi Toppin maybe is a guy that they want to keep, but I'm sure they feel like they can kind of move the pieces around that. But those 6 to me aren't going. Aaron Nesmith had 30 tonight. I mean, just in a game one, and he's been incredible. All these guys are 2-way guys, other than really Tyrese Haliburton, who still has good size on the defensive end. It's funny because our whole hopes and dreams, right, with Miles Turner was, man, the spacing 5, like what a incredible, help that would be. And to me, he hit some jumpers tonight, but Anthony, his defense for them, like the rim protection, he allows to me all those guys to be uber physical and pressure. Yeah. Turner would be great. I think they're going to pay him.
Not happy.
And all those guys, you're not getting Andrew Nembhard. You're not getting Aaron Nesmith. You could probably get Benedict Mathurin, but again, the cost of that would probably be more than the Lakers would want to give. But I think the positive is, I think these guys you can find. That's been an enlightening to me in the playoffs, is a lot of these guys are archetypes of players that you don't really, they're more like D&3, but they're just super physical guards with size. And I think that's kind of the archetype, easier said than done, of course, in terms of what the Lakers have to maneuver with. But I would, if I'm a Laker fan, I would not really, think of these Indiana Yellows as Laker Yellows anytime soon.
I think Mathurin.
Mathurin, yeah.
Because again, if you're getting Mathurin, if you're getting Shepherd, you're probably giving up something that is going to sting a little bit.
Yeah,
you obviously don't have to give up Reeves. You don't have to give up Rui for those guys, but you probably have to give up the 31 first for either of those guys. And is that something that the Lakers would be willing to do? Raj, is if let's just say the Lakers hypothetically got Mathurin,
mm-hmm.
and somehow, some way, Rui stayed on the team or whatever, you would have to make a choice, I think, between Rui. Well, I guess technically Mathurin could come off of the bench. He comes off of the bench for Indiana right now because of the wings that play ahead of him. But if you give up a first rounder for him, your only first rounder that you can move right now for him, or Shepherd, kind of feel like you have to consider starting him. But if you start him, that means you have to now choose between Reeves and Rui.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty easy here to probably not start Rui. But I also really like the idea of Reeves coming off of the bench and getting to attack the second units with his, you know, we called him Manu at you know, back at the end of the regular season. But anyway, like, I guess even if it isn't specifically about Mathurin, but if the Lakers go out and get a shooting guard here, how serious should you take the possibility of Reeves or Rui not starting next year?
So I think the interesting part here is obviously Luka's a guard in sense of his offensive responsibility.
Guards fours though.
Exactly. So he's a forward really, right? Because positions is, you know, determined by who you're guarding. And so that's why I think Rui would be probably more of the one that you would think would go to the bench. And, you know, I think that's fine. I'm not, you know, holding towards Rui being a starter or anything like that. I think the Lakers need an athletic person to, you know, be in that position in terms of who can defend other teams two and threes. That's just a position we don't have. The Max Christie type, for example, all the guys you named on Indiana. You know, I was watching tonight, like I'm watching Indiana ball pressure, and that's just something we don't even have. Like, when did we ball pressure once in the Minnesota series? Like, Gabe, I guess, did a little.
Maybe Raj, they don't need an off-ball pressure. Like, watch, go back and watch. I watched, I had to stop watching. I was like, you know, for one of these shows, I was like, all right, let's pop on here and let's look at what we just saw from that series. I got to about this, I made the mistake of watching the first game because I was doing it like a TV show where I was going to watch the series. Mm-hmm. And I started with game one and I was like, nope, no. No can do.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
And the thing that really set me off is how easily the Lakers give up possession or gave up possession to teams when they were setting screens. Watch these teams, the teams that are still left. When a team is getting ready to set screens, they're up in their chest.
Yep.
They're knocking them off the spot. They're trying to get that screen setter, the screener, to not be fully set when the screen happens so that when the guy trying to fight over the top gets hit by the screen, they can flop and get that contact to get the ball going the other way. That's the whole point. But every time, you know, anybody from the Wolves were trying to set a screen or whatever, the Lakers were just like, please, sir, please proceed this way. And I'm like, no, Like it was just such soft defense, and the Lakers played. So I know you don't like using that four-letter word, but the Lakers played so soft compared to, especially when we watch what we're watching from these teams that are still left behind or still going.
100%. And I think another part of this is how many times did Halliburton get ISO'd on Brunson? Very few, right? They don't just allow Brunson to hunt Tyrese Halliburton whenever he wants. And when he wants that matchup, it takes time. You're going to get hit in the face. You're going to catch elbows. Like there is no, let's just concede this switch. And then whatever Brunson decides to do will be in a reactive position to it, right? Because that's what the Lakers did with Anthony Edwards. That you can go and hunt Luka Doncic, and we will wait for you to decide what you want to do, and then we'll react towards it, right? So Ant's like, I'm going to drive on my right side. All right, now once Ant drives right, then we'll send our help. But Nixon, the Pacers don't react that way at all on the other end of it as well, right? Brunson doesn't just get isolated on Siakam, whenever they want either, right? There's a level of help defense that's created. But that was super frustrating. That's something that really stuck out to me. And like Mathurin, I think is nice. He's not really in the... I think he's a really good young player. He was a sixth pick in 2022. You know what I mean? So that's a high draft pick for, Indiana, a team that never really tanks. So, having that high of a pick, I'm sure they still hold in somewhat high regard. But even putting that notwithstanding, he's just not in the realm of the Nembhard, the Nesmith to me. He was hurt in their last run. He's obviously come off the bench, had some nice games in the playoffs. But I wouldn't give up the Lakers 31 first for Mathurin, but I see him as that.
He's a former number eight pick. So is he still younger? I think he's still younger than Dalton.
Yeah, he was a sixth pick in 2022. He's 22. Yeah, younger than Dalton for sure. People are saying he's like Kuminga. I don't really see that too much. I think he's been more helpful than Kuminga has, but it's a good talent grab, I guess. He's a guy that probably does want to start, though, that probably does want to get paid, doesn't want to get moved towards his next contract. That's something that you got to keep in mind. It's eye-opening just watching these two teams defend versus how we were able to kind of play and put our pieces out there. And you just need more athleticism. You need guards that can pressure. You need guys who can play in a physical realm, a universe that I think we just weren't ready for that at all.
Yeah, I look at it like, I wouldn't trade the pick unprotected. And I would do everything in my power because I think Mathurin is still on his rookie deal.
Yes.
So, you're sending out probably, and the Pacers are doing this so that they don't have any long-term money on their books. So maybe it's like Gabe's contract. I'm literally building this trade while I'm talking. But if you're only sending out Gabe's contract, then it probably has to be, a substantial piece that goes to Indiana.
Right.
Mathurin makes 9.1 mil. Gabe makes 11.5 mil.
Pretty so close.
Gabe and the 31 first, like I can think of worse ways to use that pick.
Sure.
I would say like top, like lottery protected. Sure. I would say lottery protected 31 first with Gabe's contract to go out and yeah.
I can see that. I just, when I watch Indiana, Gabe just doesn't fit their style. Like they don't play anyone under 6'4", 6'5". I gotta check how tall TJ McConnell is. But other than him, who
he's again, about feels- Gabe's height.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he just plays a little bigger because he takes a lot of like fadeaway jump shots and stuff like that and works in the post. But just Gabe doesn't really fit their style. Rui, to me,
he's a lot harder than Gabe does.
Yeah. I mean, that's his whole thing, right? Doesn't
Gabe is 6'3", McConnell is 6'1".
Oh, wow. He's taller than McConnell. Okay. It doesn't feel that way on the court. But Rui feels like more of a pacer type of player. Just I feel like Rui would thrive in that system, just being able to run up and down. Not that he couldn't thrive here, but just I think Rui's a guy that Indiana would look at and go, okay, you want Benedict Mathurin, all right, throw us Rui and we'll fill whatever salary it is, and that's more of an even exchange for Indiana, who again doesn't have to do this deal. They can easily go into next season. I think he's signed until next year, or maybe He's a restricted free agent.
Next year he's on an expiring.
Okay.
So you're they're going to start having those negotiations for the rookie extension and stuff like that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I like Mathurin. I just, you don't have too many chips to play with first rounders. And
would you do Rui for Mathurin and Shepard?
If that's straight up, I'd probably do it if you can't find anything else. Rui still has a lot of value, I think, but I like Mathurin a lot. I wouldn't give a first for him, but that's definitely the archetype of a deal I would at least think of. I understand people who wouldn't do that. Rui was super helpful. Actually, we have a lot of forwards, Anthony. Like, we got the roster has to balance
None of these decisions would be easy to make.
No.
Like, if you're trading Rui, because and it is a completely fair retort to have. The Lakers are at a athleticism and physicality disadvantage against most of these teams. Why are you trading them one of the more physical and athletic guys that they actually have? Now, I would argue that Mathurin and Shepard are both very physical and athletic for their position.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the bar is as high with Rui as it is for Austin, where they will only trade Austin for a current or you know, like a guy who could be an all-star next year.
Right.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe "I know a guy" just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I don't think it's quite that high with Rui, but I do know he has some fans very high up in the organization.
Sure.
And like one name in particular that I keep coming back to is Tim Harris, the guy who's in charge of business for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And Rui giving the Lakers access to the Japanese market is something that he would probably be like, "Are you sure? Like, he was really good in the playoffs, you know? Are you sure that you were willing to trade?" So like, and because of the way that the Lakers operate, Tim Harris's voice is really going to matter, you know? And
something I think we don't really put into this, because I think Austin dominates this conversation, which deservedly so, right? But Rui's another organizational win, right? Kendrick Nunn and 2 seconds for Rui Hachimura has turned into an extension, has turned into a starter, has turned into a guy who's performed well in the playoffs. Obviously, Rui's going into, I believe, his final year of the 3-year extension that he signed here. But I think he's another guy that they see as, all right, we found this guy. We didn't develop him per se. But I mean, Rui Hachimura, go look at his Instagram. He is doing with Phil Handley, right? He's a guy that he's worked very extensively with him, guy who's been in the Lakers sphere. I'm with you. It's just Rui for Mathurin is kind of on the lower edge of I'm trading talent for fit, right? And you don't want to overthrow that trade. You know what I mean? Where you're throwing so much over the water to get the fit in when the talent gap is so high. And that's what I see with a lot of the Austin trades that are mocked, Anthony, that gets sent to me. Again, please don't send me 5-team trades. It's just, I'm not zooming in that far. But I see that.
I think what happens there is people are like, they hit the try trade button.
Right. It doesn't work.
Green at the top. And it's like a legitimate accomplishment because of how complicated the CBA is. But they're like, I have to share this with somebody. I have to.
I do appreciate and I do reply and I give a thoughtful analysis on it. But 5-team trades, as Windhorse calls it, I think are no team trades because they don't exist. Mathurin for Rui's on the kind of really lower end of in terms of talent for fit trade, which again, to your point, none of these are easy. And I think when you're in a spot the Lakers are, you kind of have to look for these, right? Because you're throwing a lot of these players, you're not going to find their equal talent in another position. Yeah, it's just, that's a very tough place to kind of look. So when you're trading like guard for center or forward for guard, or, you know, and stuff like that, it's just tough to find.
I'm looking at it more like trading wing for wing in this case. Like I'm looking and what I mean is like type of wing for different type of wing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mathurin's going to be good. I think he's a little psycho. Like I
think that's a good thing though. I don't mind that.
I think if you can harness it a little bit, I think it can help. I would be nervous. Like if you are trading Rui for him, Mathurin is your starter. You know, and either you're going with Reeves as your two and Mathurin is your three, and then, you know, Luka, LeBron, right? Is that four people? Yeah, basically taking Rui's spot in the starting group.
You just need a center, right?
Mathurin, I want to see how tall he is really quick.
He's listed at 6'5".
6'6" on Fanspo.
Okay. That's good size. I mean, that's solid.
He's strong, isn't like he's well put together. He's a great athlete, all that stuff. Really good hang time, body control. I would see what other options there might be. I think if you do that, you still have to go out and get it. Well, I mean, no matter what, the Lakers have to get a center. Like that's
right.
To be absolutely clear to anybody who's like, no, but they need a center. Like, no, they can do that too. They need to do that too. And if you do that, like if you are able to turn Rui into
Mathurin,
Shepherd and Mathurin, without touching that 31 first, then you could use that 31 first on a center. And I think you have a pretty decent squad going into next year. You know, like, is it the title favorite? No. Is there a path to, you know, through which they could take to make a little bit of noise? I think yes. We're going to segue kind of awkwardly into kind of meta analysis here. Mm-hmm. You know, we both, I think, spend quite a bit of time on Twitter. Both of our mentions are both pretty active. We look at this stuff pretty incessantly. I'm kind of curious. I kind of want to go through some of the talking points that we have both seen. Not the most ridiculous ones that we're going to laugh at, right? But like some of the conversations that are taking place, or the questions that you have gotten most often, that you would maybe want to address here. Does that? I mean, I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot. Is there a topic or a name that you get asked about more than say others that you would want to hit on before we dive into the super comments?
Yeah, I think the main one that I get, Anthony, is you get it the same, I'm sure, is Nick Claxton, right? That's the name that gets thrown. Yeah. That's what everyone goes. And just it's very easy to plug his name into the trade machine and build contracts with that. And every time I get mentioned this, I try to respond with, and the Lakers haven't really invested that into a center that's not a star, right? Anthony Davis is the only one, but Anthony Davis has been asking for another big for a very long time, has not been quiet about it. And the Lakers have gone into the minimum, you know, salary range. They have gone into the two-way salary range. And going from that to a 20, whatever he's making, $25 million. And it's a good contract. I believe it declines as it's going.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you can get there without, you know, putting Austin in the deal as well. But that's the one name that I get asked a lot. And I'll be really fascinated to see how the Lakers approach that. Obviously they went into the playoffs and did not play a center, which we both have kind of spoke about how that was a mistake. But yeah, just that's a lot of investment into a center. And in my opinion, I'll ask you this. I think they're going to go with the center by committee approach of just, we're going to get the centers in that like maybe 5 to 10 million range, but
they can only get one of them. I mean, unless you're trading an expiring for like bad money.
I'm saying, like, not all three in that range, but like sign one of the centers in that range and then another center on the minimum, like Coloco or whatever, or not Coloco, excuse me, Capella, Fruitian slip there. But that's kind of that's kind of the range that I see. So I just, the Nick Claxton stuff, I could see them making that deal, but I just have not seen them, Anthony, invest in the center in that manner. So that's kind of the most.
But how much of them not investing in center in that manner had to do with the fact that they were already invested in Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
Like, had they traded everything that they were getting ready to trade Mark Williams for, eventually you're going to pay Mark Williams that amount of money too.
Sure. But I think Mark Williams was almost the perfect sweet spot, right? Because you're swapping
minus his, you know, being made of wet toilet paper.
Yes, healthy Mark Williams, of course. Healthy Mark Williams was in that sweet spot. Not according to Mark Williams, but
according to the Hornets, he was like, "I'm healthy. I swear, I'm healthy." He was like, "Hey man, right. you can't play the second night of back to back. Other than that, I'm healthy."
Mark Williams was in that sweet spot where he's still on his rookie contract, and you're trading rookie contract for rookie contract in Dalton Connect, obviously attaching other first round. And to me, that's what was so loud about that deal is the amount of first round draft capital that went out, I think, was because of the contract. They do not want a 20 whatever million dollar player at that position locked in, without, you know, seeing what that fit is with Luka and everyone. But that's what I've seen, and that has dominated my mentions. It's just Nick Claxton. We gotta be Nick Claxton. And I think I posed this question in our Slack, but just how many real basketball games has Nick Claxton played in? I'm not 100% sure. I think he was part of the Nets run.
He was there. He played a playoff game or a few for the Nets back when they went on that run with D'Lo, right? So I think he was part of that.
Okay.
Team. Bye, everyone.
Banking has stood still for decades. Slow, clunky, and designed around its own convenience, not yours. Mercury was built to end that. Fast, elegant, and works the way you'd expect best-in-class software to work. No fighting outdated systems. No nickel and diming. Visit mercury.com to apply in minutes and experience the difference for yourself. Mercury is a fintech company, not an FDIC-insured bank. Banking services provided through Choice Financial Group and Column NA, members FDIC.